Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The modern religious world is content to have its conscience soothed with a placebo gospel, which I believe to be no gospel at all, and has in essence been stripped of any discernment that it might have ever possessed. As the prophet of old said, "And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." The lines between the gospel and entertainment have been so muddled that very few, even of those who are true possessors of faith, can tell the difference. Man is the central figure in the vast majority of so-called preaching in most churches. Everything is designed around his feelings and stimulation under supposed good works, which are purportedly produced by a multitude of programs, systems, and endeavors of motivational teaching. Faith is described as some sort of a rabbit's foot, which men are supposed to exhibit in order to ensure their continued blessing from the Lord. The message of a shallow peace and prosperity is the order of the day, and men love to have it so. I'm reminded of one of the old prophets who said, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Laughter has replaced repentance as the desired state of God's children. Mourning is not a state into which one is brought by choice or decision, nor can one be taught how to properly mourn. By its very nature, sadness is that which men try to avoid. Those whose hearts are satisfied with their present condition cannot enter into such a state by their own power or choice, nor can a man pretend to mourn. Those who are called mourners in the Scripture were brought into that state by the actions of another. Their state of mourning is an evidence of the blessing of God and the outpouring of His Spirit on His own. "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness as one is in bitterness for his firstborn." A man cannot earn or receive the blessings of God by lamenting his condition, nor saying, "Woe is me," louder than the next person. But the blessing of God is surely evident in those who mourn over their own sin. David exemplified the heart cry of the true child of God when he said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." The greatest heartache for the sons of God comes because they are painfully aware of how far short of obedience they constantly come. The blessing of God is evident in those who mourn over the death of their Savior. How can it be that such a one as the Holy Lamb of God should stoop to die a sinner's death? On the one hand, we rejoice that he has paid our debt and loosed us from bondage, but we are compelled to remember his death till he comes. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now that we see his suffering was endured in our behalf, we cannot help but mourn over the cause of his affliction. The blessing of God is evident in those who mourn over the state of the Lord's church. Had it pleased the Lord to do so, he could have made his church to be a treasure highly regarded and gloried in by the world. Yet he has caused his saints to wander in a state of semi-darkness, subject to all the weaknesses which are common to this sinful flesh. Even though we have been brought out of total darkness, we yet see through a glass darkly and lament the cold and disobedient state that we see the church often walk in. The Lord is pleased from time to time to visit his vineyard and cause the spices of his garden to abound. But alas, it is not always so to the same degree. I believe that generally speaking, we are walking in a very dark time, which must cause the true sons of God to lament our coldness and cry out to him for mercy as Habakkuk of old. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. The blessing of God is evident in those who mourn over being a stranger in this world. The longing of the sons of God is to put off this sinful world along with this mortal body, that we may be clothed in that immortal body which he has purchased for us. We have here no continuing city. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The gospel is intended for those who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Blessed are they that mourn. Are you a mourner?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.